Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Glad you made it this morning to our service here on the fourth Sunday of our celebration of Easter. We are blessed to be together and blessed to have the Lord's grace and His mercy for the forgiveness of our sins. And also, if you noticed, the blooms are still on the trees, even though I thought that the little frost would have taken them down. They didn't. They're still there. I was so excited when I saw that this morning. So maybe some good apples growing around the valley this spring. Glad you could make it. If you're joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning into our service as well. This morning, our service is according to the order of morning prayer, which is a little different than the regular services. Included in that also is a Holy Communion this morning as well. So thanks again for being here. Glad to be gathered together. Our service begins with our opening hymn. That's hymn 711. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And on the last verse of the hymn this morning, we'll ask the congregation to stand if you're able. So let's sing together hymn 711. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open my lips. Indeed, alleluia. Let us worship Him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise. Be seated. A reading this morning from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue now with our epistle lesson for the fourth Sunday of Easter from the book of Revelation in the seventh chapter. You'll notice to identify those who stand in white robes in verse 14, we realize that these are the ones coming out of the Great Tribulation. So this is an apocalyptic image of the church. And them clothed in the righteousness that's not their own, but the righteousness of Jesus. That's the white robes. We begin in verse 9 of Revelation 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for our gospel reading. The reading is from John chapter 10. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Amen. Please be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, as we continue through our season of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. Our text from John's Gospel this morning reminds us that the truth often comes out in uncomfortable conversations. And it's true. Something about being a person in this world means that we're often carrying around our offenses, not speaking about how they make us feel, and waiting for an opportune time to vent them or to air them out. Because we know it's easy to take offense. It's easy. And often that offense that we take, we're also wise enough to understand that it's oftentimes more about our own insecurity than it is about the person's intention who offended us. So we think, I don't need to bring this up. And we wait and carry our offenses around. Unless, of course, the offense is more than we can bear. Feels like it's going to bubble over. When we really feel entitled, and in that case, we'll gladly shoot at any time. Could be in the middle of a party. Make a scene to air our feelings and let the offense be known. This morning in our reading, there's an uncomfortable conversation that ensues on the pages of the gospel between some of the Jews, they're not specified in this text, and Jesus himself. He's there in Solomon's portico, or the colonnade of Solomon, during what John calls the Feast of Dedication, more popularly known as Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights. When the Jews remember their recapturing of the temple for a short time during the Maccabean revolt. And it's right here on this winter day, as Jesus' time on earth is growing dim, that they're willing to make a scene. How long will you keep us in suspense, they say to him. It's a little harsher in the original language there. How long will you hold our souls from this information? How long will you hold up our souls? It's not a very nice way to put it. The English softens it a bit. And at the beginning of verse 24, it says they gathered around him. In the original language, it's more like encircled. You can kind of picture that, like a bunch of rowdy kids on the playground and they're all mad at one of them. What do? They encircle them. They can't get away. Not a very nice place for Jesus to be. Not a very comfortable conversation to have. They go on, they say, tell us plainly if you're the Christ. But the fact is, they're offended by him. As if he's come to hide something purposely from them. Jesus won't let their insecurity win the day. It's an accusation, their question. How long will you keep us in suspense? It's an accusation. Like he's keeping his identity secret on purpose from these people. As if he's proud or arrogant about who he is, and they're not good enough to know. This is the part I really love about this text and about Jesus, is because the reality of the situation is that there's a fight coming. Oh, it's coming. But how does he deal with it? He still speaks truth, and he still has mercy, and he still says things without blowing up. Right? A good thing we could all model from our Lord in uncomfortable conversations. And what was his response to their insecure accusation? Well, he said, I already told you, but you wouldn't believe. And he says, the works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, speaking about his miracles. Like, if you are out healing people, saving people from demons, it's pretty obvious that these are testifying truths about Jesus' identity as Son of God. Just one chapter from now, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. Have you ever been in an uncomfortable conversation where you make an accusation of somebody only to find out that it's actually you who's wrong? Been there many times. I don't know about you guys. Many times. That's what happens here. Jesus has been revealing himself as the Christ this whole time, but they did not believe. And Jesus tells us why. That's the amazing thing about this text. His answer to why is, you are not a part of my sheep. And it just so seems that this uncomfortable conversation between Jesus and these Jews is a tiny picture of how sinful people engage with God. We unknowingly do this all the time. And we give words to our offenses when we say things like this. How could God let this happen? How could God allow bad to take place? Isn't God a good God? And yet around us are bad things happening all the time. See, hidden within our question, how could God allow these things? Embedded in it is an accusation as well. Because basically what we're saying is, God, you're doing salvation wrong. We think you should do it better. Why can't God just get rid of all the bad stuff and make it easy for us? We don't like suffering in life. So we too have been carrying around our offenses, waiting for an opportune time to speak them, to air them. And what's God's answer to us? The same. I've told you already, and yet you don't believe? In every town, my word is preached. It's on the radio, it's on the internet, it's on the television. It pops up in your Facebook feed when you're doom scrolling for 2 hours, and people are telling you about me. They're inviting you to come to my supper, to hear my word. My spirit brings to your mind my word all the time. I interrupt your day quite often. Do you believe? Do you think God is going about his work in this world incorrectly? That he would allow what he would allow? And the question has to follow. Are we his sheep? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. I often encourage people when they ask that question, why God allows this kind of pain and suffering in life, and why he doesn't just put an end to all the evil and the bad and the suffering right now. The response, he did put an end to it. He's just doing it his way and not ours. And they're two very different ways. Just like back in John 10, going about salvation in his way, not the way they thought he should. Suffering, pain, sorrow, the happenings in a sinful world, they're all a part of the wages of sin. But he doesn't completely remove them, does he? And this is the rooting ground or the soil for some of the worst questions that pop up in our Christian lives. He doesn't take it all away right now. He saves through it. He saves through the hard things. He saves through the suffering. He's chosen to use also that for our benefit. And why does he choose to work his salvation out this way? Because he knows exactly what he said to us. When he said these words, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Doesn't matter the situation that the sheep might be in. in every joy, and in every suffering, in every pain, and in every pleasure, and in every longing, and every satisfaction, what Jesus says is true. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Through the valley of the shadow of death, his sheep fear no evil. Not because there's no longer a valley of the shadow of death, not because he's removed it, but because he's with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. He doesn't promise that we won't have trouble in life. In fact, he says the opposite in John 16, verse 33. He says, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. We don't just have trouble with sin. We all know that we have trouble with sin, and we all know that that causes pain and suffering sometimes. But it's the pain and sufferings that seem to just show up, right? They confuse us. What we're really having problems or troubles with is being able to see God at work in those harder things. That's the thing we're struggling with in our faith. Friends, the Apostle Paul tells us that we should walk by faith and not by sight. It's faith that grabs a hold of the promises of God. It's faith that says, even though I've made a bunch of mistakes, even though I'm in a bad situation, even though I'm not, I'm just doing awesome, man. You should see what the wins on my list this week. Faith still clings to the promise. Doesn't matter the situation. We know that somehow, someday, like it said in our Revelation readings, all tears will be wiped away. All troubles are going to be gone. Everything's going to be perfect. And it's all only our insecurity or our lack of faith in his promises that'll keep our accusations always before him. So what does he want to show us? His better way of salvation, to take us through and lead us through every situation that sin, death, and the devil can throw at us, and he'll never change, he'll never move, his promises will be true through it all. And he wants us to clearly see it. You got to think about this real quick. When he did come to the earth in the incarnation, born of the Virgin, and then he triumphed. This is Easter. We sing his triumphs. We've been singing them for weeks. He triumphs. What does he triumph through? Suffering. It's an awesome, awesome lesson for us as believers, because we think when things are hard, when things aren't going right, we think God is far away. And we cry out, "Where are you?" But have we ever thought about it the other way, more like the Bible teaches it? That when God is at work, it's often through suffering. A holy and perfect God comes in to a sinful, nasty world, and we think it's going to be all roses and flowers. It just doesn't go that way. Think about Jesus for a second, what Isaiah says about him, that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, that he had no place to lay his head, and that he wasn't esteemed, but he was stricken. It's kind of weird to say, but when things aren't perfect, we're just as close to God as when things are good, if not closer. Let him open our eyes of faith to this reality, that it's not, hey, God's happy with me, things are going good, oh, no, things are bad, where's God, where's God, where's God? He's there all the time, teaching and leading and guiding and holding us fast and forgiving us and shepherding us, his sheep, all the way through. And I hope that even though this is a bit of an uncomfortable conversation to talk about suffering, I hope you're not in the middle of a nasty one right now. But if you are, hear what he's saying to you. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. And if you're not, put a bookmark in this. In case you are someday and you need to hear this gorgeous truth that his promises are true and that he'll never leave you or forsake you and that he'll work all things to the good of those who believe and are called according to his purpose. I mean, that's the most amazing thing about the cross, isn't it? The most amazing thing about our forgiveness is God could take the crucifixion of his own son and the terrible day that that was, and he could make good out of it. Amen. He can do that for you, and he will, according to his promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come now to the time in our service for our offering. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to turn over to hymn 735 and sing with us, "Have No Fear, Little Flock." Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, for you truly provide for your people by your grace in abundance. Lord, bless these gifts, the givers and those that cannot give, that these gifts may be used that others would hear about your love and steadfast faithfulness throughout their life and your promises of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the dead. Amen. We now come to our time for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, "Hear our prayer." Heavenly Father, in your name, your Son purchased us with his own most holy blood, and he now leads us through the gate of death to our eternal home with you, as the sheep of his fold. Lord, inspire us to hear his voice gladly in the scripture and to follow him steadfastly through every tribulation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, shepherd of souls, your apostle Paul promised that fierce opposition and twisted speech would come against your church, even from within her own fold. Lord, raise up faithful men to pastor your flock through these threats and grant that they would not shrink from proclaiming the kingdom of Christ, no matter what we have to face. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, you've given us a mirror of your love in the vocation of mothers who nurture, guide, and raise their children in all things good. Lord, bless them in their calling. Sustain them through weary and difficult times. Lord, remember in compassion also all those who are barren, and bring them comfort through the children of your church. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our King, you are Lord of all peoples, nations, and tribes. Grant wisdom and truth to those who rule this land, that they may faithfully promote good and punish evil. Wherever our courts or laws are contrary to your will, O Lord, reform them for your mercy's sake, and guide us in your way. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have not forgotten us in our afflictions or abandoned us in our weakness. We pray you deliver the sick and suffering according to your will and give comfort to all those in need, especially to those in our prayers. We name before you from the altar at this time the family and friends of Susan St. Cyr, Audra Rendon, Julie Knoll, Greg Gonzalez, the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, Adam and Andrea, Sandy Cody, the family of Bob Phillips, Larry Reinberger, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and Jay Kemp, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, guard us against despair and grant us patience in the day of trouble as we await all your perfect healing according to your promise. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our shepherd, you calm all fears in this valley of the shadow, and you prepare the holy table of your Son's testament for us in the presence of our enemies. Grant us repentant and faithful hearts. In every tribulation or besetting sin, lead us to find comfort and strength in your overflowing mercy given to us here in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you promised to raise up a shepherd to deliver your sheep from all their enemies. We give you thanks for giving us your own Son to be our good shepherd. Grant us to hear his voice, know him by faith, and follow where he leads, that he may deliver us into your arms forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue now on the bottom of page 7 in your bulletin with our collect for grace. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning, and though we in no way deserve your goodness, you abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we humbly pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness towards us. Give thanks for all your benefits, and cheerfully serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to stand for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson.
Pater et Filius.
Thousands of people in Vatican Sanctus. City take home with them the memory Amen. Of receiving that first blessing from Pope Leo today. The new pope's from... This is from the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Supic.